I'm excited to be here tonight. Actually, Wednesday nights are my favorite service to speak. You may say, well, why is that? Well, you know, the Wednesday night people, you guys are committed, you're faithful, you know, you really want to learn and grow. I mean, it takes a lot of commitment to come here on a Wednesday night after you've been working all day, right? But it always produces good fruit. Amen. We can never get enough of the Word of God. So I'm excited to be here with you tonight. And tonight, I want to talk about the antidote to isolation. The antidote to isolation. You know, loneliness and isolation has actually become an epidemic in the United States. It has actually been declared by the U.S. Surgeon General that in America, there is an epidemic of isolation, and it is very detrimental to each of us as individuals, as well as our society. There's a whole report on it. It's like 80-some pages. If you Google it, you will find it. But I want to read just a few things about that to you from that report that I think are interesting. And the Word of God has a lot to say about this. Amen. So this is what this report says. It says, loneliness is far more than just a bad feeling. It harms both individual and societal health. It is associated, listen to this, with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day, and even associated with obesity and physical inactivity. And the harmful consequences of a society that lacks social connection can be felt in our schools, our workplaces, our civic organizations, where performance, productivity, and engagement are diminished. That's how impactful isolation and loneliness is to us. You know, face-to-face interactions in America are on the decrease. Also in this report, it cited that in 2003, just, you know, 21 years ago, each individual had 60 minutes per day of face-to-face interaction with a friend. Compared to 2023, it dropped to just 20 minutes of face-to-face interaction with a friend. That's a decline of 66.67% in just 20 years. That's crazy. And here's something that is absolutely shocking, is that it affects our younger generation even in a greater measure. Those ages 15 to 25, their in-person interactions have been reduced by 70% in the last two decades. It is affecting our young people. You know, I get the opportunity to work with what we call Gen Z. So Gen Z is really anybody sub 30 years old. And this is what this report says the impact is on those that are 30 years or younger. It says, sadly, more than 2 in 5, or 44% of Gen Z, feel like they don't matter to others. And 1 in 3 report loneliness. This is corroborated by a 2023 Gallup poll findings that about 1 in 3 Gen Zers, so roughly 30%, do not feel loved, supported by others, and they feel like nobody really knows them. That is an epidemic. And why am I talking about loneliness? Because we have the answer to loneliness and isolation. Amen. Even the Surgeon General of the United States in this report says that churches are one of the greatest sources of social support. It actually says this, and it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because less Americans are going to church. So in this report, it says, in 2020, only 47% of Americans said they belonged to a church. This is down from 70% in 1999. 70% of Americans in 1999 said they belonged to a church. This represents a dip below 50% for the first time in history of this survey. And it also states that religious or faith-based groups can be a source for regular social contact, serve as a community of support, provide meaning and purpose, create a sense of belonging around the shared values and beliefs, and are associated with reduced risk-taking behaviors. As a consequence of this decline in participation of church, individuals' health are undermined significantly. Church, we have the answer to this epidemic of isolation and loneliness. Amen? And here's the deal, guys. We, as a church, need to be connecting with one another and also need to be connecting with those outside to bring them in, because we have the antidote for isolation. You know, God knew from the beginning that loneliness was going to be a problem, and he talked about it, and he had a solution for it. So let's go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. We're going to be reading in the NLT. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" Now, a lot of times this verse, you know, is used to talk about, you know, a man and a woman and marriage, which that is true. But I think there's a broader theme here, because in the Greek, this word man doesn't mean an individual man. It's actually, this Greek word is translated mankind. It is not good for mankind to be alone. Now, what I find interesting about this in Genesis chapter 2 is this. Think about this. God is saying it is not good for mankind to be alone. Yet at this time, the fall hadn't happened yet. Eve hadn't tasted the forbidden fruit. Adam, mankind, had face-to-face interaction with God. Face-to-face. Yet God said it is not good for man to be alone. See, what God realized is, yes, mankind does need a relationship with God. We do need this vertical relationship with God. It is essential and crucial for us to live eternally and to live this life victoriously. But what God also knew, just as crucial, is for mankind to connect horizontally with others. Because, see, we're not just a one-part being. We're not just a spirit being. Our spirit would be fully sustained with just a relationship, just a vertical relationship with God, if we were just a spirit. But we're not. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. And your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, it needs that vertical interaction with friends. And God knew that from the very beginning. Think about it, all right? Let's think about Jesus, okay? You know, what did Jesus do when he, you know, decided to go into ministry? He did what? He gathered 12 disciples, or 12 really close friends. Have you ever wondered, well, why did Jesus do that? I mean, Jesus was the Son of God. Why did he need 12 disciples to follow him around? Well, when you read about this theologically, theologians say this, that Jesus needed 12 disciples for two reasons. Number one, He needed the disciples to learn from him. He was going to teach the disciples so that they could go and tell about all the things that Jesus did, right? But number two, Jesus needed those disciples to assist him on his mission, that it was crucial that he could not have accomplished his mission without those 12 disciples helping him. Think about that. See, Jesus was 100% God, and he was sustained by the Father, yet he was 100% man, and man has to have a relationship with God and a relationship with people. So because he was 100% God, but he was 100% man, he had to have those 12 disciples. Couldn't have completed his mission without it, right? So Jesus talks a lot about friends in the Bible. There's lots of scriptures. We're going to look at a few tonight. Let's look at Proverbs 17. We are going to read verse 17, and I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, "A dear friend will love you no matter what, and a family sticks together through all kinds of trouble." A dear friend will love you no matter what. Proverbs 27, verses 9 and 10, I love this in the Passion Translation. It's so descriptive. It says, "Sweet friendships." Now, notice this. In Proverbs 17, he has descriptive words with friends. It's a dear friend. This one is sweet friendships. So there's different kinds of friendships, right? "Sweet friendships refresh the soul." There's that soul part. We are human. We are spirit, soul, and body. "Sweet friendships refresh the soul and awaken our hearts with joy. For good friends are like anointing oil that yields the fragrant incense of God's presence." See, friends can be God's presence to you. Goes on to say, "So never give up on a friend or abandon a friend of your father. For in the day of your brokenness, you won't have to run to a relative for help. A friend nearby is better than a relative far away." Amen. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. We're going to read that in the NLT. It says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble." And this is just a few, there's so many scriptures in the Bible about community, about friends, about needing that horizontal interaction, right? But the devil knows this too, and from the very beginning, he has been trying to isolate us from the very, very beginning, because what he knows is if he can isolate us, he can destroy us. If he can isolate us, he can destroy us, because if we fall and we are isolated, there is no one there to help you get back up. Think about this. Let's think about Eve. Eve was alone when she was tempted and ate that fruit, right? She was in isolation, right? And the devil started talking to her and tempted her, and there was no one around her to say, hey, that's not a good idea. Remember what God said? See, it's in isolation that when we are tempted, we sin. Think about Jesus. When he was tempted in the wilderness, were his 12 disciples around him? No. Satan drug him, isolated into the wilderness where he was all by himself and tempted him. But because he was 100% God, he didn't fall to the temptation, right? He didn't fall. So, but the devil constantly tries to isolate us because, you know, when you're alone, your thoughts just run away. You think crazy things. You'll talk yourself into doing crazy things because there is no one there to say, hey, that's not a good idea, right? I remember one time not too long ago, I was in the house and I was alone. I was isolated. And I needed something, and it was in this really, really tall cabinet, and I couldn't get it. And so we have this little step stool. I tried that. I still wasn't tall enough. I'm by myself, all right? I'm used to having taller men in my house. I especially love my son, my youngest son. He's 6'6", and when I need something, he doesn't even stand on his tiptoes. He just reaches like that. It's great, but he wasn't there. And so for some reason in my isolation, I saw my desk chair that has wheels on it. Okay, we have hardwood floors. I thought, well, I'm just going to get up on that. So I did, but it wasn't quite tall enough. So the thought popped in my head, hey, go get some books and stack them up on that chair that has wheels on the hardwood floor. That's a great idea. You'll be tall enough. There was no one there to say, hey, that's pretty stupid. So what did I do? I did it because I was in isolation. I was alone. And so I did it, and I got up on that, and the chair started to slide, and I was like, oh no. And I like grabbed onto the counter as the chair was slipping out. It was a whole scene, y'all. It was not pretty. And then I was glad I was in isolation because I didn't want anybody to see that. But you can do some dumb stuff when you're by yourself, right? And so that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to isolate us because in isolation, you know, you can really, when you fall, there's nobody there to catch you. So how does the devil try to isolate us, or what are the ways to isolation? What are some ways? Number one, busyness. Busyness. You know, everybody's busy today. You know, we got kids and families and competitive sports and, you know, cheerleading and baseball. And we've got, you know, this activity and this league and, you know, busy, 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 right? You pass by somebody. Oh, hey, how you doing? Busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm busy and tired, right? It's almost like we wear it as a badge of honor. Like we couldn't just say, oh, I'm just, you know, hanging out and just chilling, just been relaxing lately. You know, I mean, what would you do if somebody responded like that, right? It's always just, oh, busy, I'm busy. And we're so busy and caught up that we never have time to get together with friends. If, you know, an opportunity presents itself, we're like, oh, you know, I've been so busy lately, I think I'm just going to stay home. It's the busyness. But you want to know something? That is a complete lie. Because it is brought on by the devil, the author of lies. He can't tell the truth even if he wanted to, right? It is a lie because you know what? The University of London did a study just last year in 2023. And they did a study on people across the world. And it found that people today are actually working less and sleeping more today than compared to 50 years ago. It's a lie that we're more busy. We have convinced ourselves that we are more busy, but that's an absolute lie. We work less and we sleep more. It's crazy how that happens. But I bet if I ask 9 out of 10 of you, hey, are you busy? You say, oh, I'm so busy, crazy busy. But it's a lie. It's a lie meant to keep us from connecting and keep us in isolation. Number two, ways to isolation, distractions, right? What's the biggest distraction today? Social media, technology, right? Games, YouTube. We're constantly on social media, on technology. We walk around with our phones, right? Walk around all the time with our phones, almost tripping on stuff. Oh, if we leave our phone at home, what do? We got to go back home and get it. We can't go somewhere without our phone. What if somebody needs to, like, call us or text us, or we can't check Facebook? Oh, that'd be tragic, right? To go 2 hours without a phone. It's the distraction. So there's a study that says individuals who report excessive social media use, and excessive social media use is defined as 2 hours or more per day. Okay. Now, if you ever, I don't know about Android phones, but Apple phones, they have this little weekly report that comes up that tells you your average time spent on your phone. And every week when that pops up, I'm like, no, I did not spend that much time per day on my phone. It's lying to me. But it knows. Okay. So those who report excessive social media use are twice as likely to report social isolation as those who spend less than half an hour per day on social media. Young adults who use social media the most are significantly more likely to show signs of depression. More time spent on social media decreases perceived emotional support, increases fear of missing out, also known as FOMO, and lowers self-esteem. See, the lie that Satan tells us is this: hey, so cool. Social media, you can connect with people around the world. You can know what your friends are doing all the time. It's a lie. It actually makes you feel more isolated, more alone, like you're missing out, and it lowers your self-esteem. You know, if I'm honest, even at, 50 years old, I will admit, I scroll social media and I see a group of like my friends and they're together and they're like going out to eat or doing something fun. And I'm like, well, why didn't they ask me? I mean, I'm a fun person. Like, I'm missing out on that. Like, what are they talking about? Like, do they not like me anymore? Did I do something? I mean, these thoughts start going, right? And it causes you to feel isolated. Now, I'm sure none of you are like that. You've never felt like that before, felt left out. But if that can happen to us as adults, think about our young people. Think about as a teenager on social media, seeing you didn't get invited to that birthday party or that sleepover. It's no wonder that Gen Z, so those sub 30, it is the highest suicide rate ever in the history of America for a generation. They have the highest rate of suicide of any other generation prior. That is sad. And a lot of it, the reason for it, is social isolation. Yet the lie is that I'm connected to all these friends. I have 2,000 friends and I got 500 likes on my post, yet they're lonely. Distractions. Number three, ways to isolation. Anxiety. Anxiety. People have social anxiety now. It's actually a term. It's a condition now. It used to not be. This is a newer condition, a psychological condition. And it really targets younger people. My husband and I, we oversee the young adults ministry here, 18 to 25, and we have social events. And one day I was talking to this young adult and I said, what's been your favorite social event we've had so far? And she said, oh, I don't come to the social events. I'm like, really? Like, I see you here every week. I know, but the social events, they're so scary. It just causes me anxiety. And I said, well, why? She goes, what if I have to talk to somebody? And I was trying not to act shocked. And I said, well, when you come here, don't you talk to people? No. I come in late after it starts. And I worship God and I hear the sermon and then I leave right after because I don't want to talk to anybody. And I was like, how sad. Missing that social connection. There's actually a report that was released by a healthcare organization. And it says that, revealed that anxiety in Gen Z has reached an alarming level. 61% of Gen Z have been medically diagnosed with an anxiety condition. Tell you what, Satan is going after the younger people, and he's doing it with anxiety. The studies show that the most common anxieties for Gen Z include future, finances, work, social activities, and friendships. This is sad, y'all, because friendships are crucial for our well-being, right? It's so important. So what we have to do is combat that, because even in the church, if we are not careful, we can slip in to these distractions of being too busy to fellowship, to have friends, being too distracted, having that anxiety like, oh, what if I show up and I don't know anybody and then it's just super awkward, right? We have to combat against that. So what types of friends do we need? What types of friends do we need? Number one, we need fun friends. Fun friends, right? Anybody have fun friends? Right, what are fun friends? Fun friends are people that we share a common interest with. We laugh a lot with them. You know, they're not like, they may not be like super deep relationships, and that's okay, because studies have shown that even superficial relationships, friendships, just getting coffee with somebody has great benefits, right? Because you can't be, you know, deep friends with just everybody. So not too deep. You can relax with them. You have a lot in common with them. You know, maybe this is, you know, the people you sit next to in the pew when you come to church, because we all know we have the same spot that we sit in every time we come to church, right? We know this because if somebody is in your spot, you're like, oh, why are they in my spot? All right. Right? So maybe it's the, you know, the people that sit next to you in church, you know, and you laugh and you talk a little bit before church. Maybe these are your link team friends. You know, you share a common interest, the board game link team, or, you know, the mom link team. You have a common interest. It's just fun. You just hang out. You just laugh. You just relax with them. Maybe these are friends at your kids' sports teams, when you're sitting there watching the games or watching practices, you talk with them, you get to know them, all right? These are just the fun friends that we hang out with to laugh, and we need those in our life. Number two type of friend that we need, and as I'm going through these, if you don't have these types of friends in your life, start to think about, hey, where do I have some gaps? Where do I need a little bit more connection? Where do I need a little bit more friendship? Because what we learned from Proverbs is there's different types of friendships. There's the dear friends. There's the sweet friends. There's these different types of friendships. The number two friend we need is our ride or die friend. Anybody got a ride or die friend? You say, well, what is that? Well, I'm going to tell you. Okay, these are people that actually really know your whole story, and they still want to be your friend. Okay, they know all the good, the bad, the real ugly, and they say, you know what, I love you anyways. I'm going to be there for you. These are the friends that have your back. These are the friends that, you know, when somebody does you wrong, they're like, all right, let's go light their yard on fire, you know? These are the friends that are going to defend you, stand up for you. But these are also the friends that are going to tell you the truth. These are the friends that are going to keep you from doing the stupid things like having a rolling chair with books on a hardwood floor. They're going to tell you that's real dumb, right? They're going to help you. They're going to be your shoulder to cry on, okay? You need those types of friends. Now, these friends are going to be few and far between. You may only have one or two of these, and that's okay, because not everybody needs to know everything about you, because they may not like you. It's that special few, that ride or die friend. Number three, friends in high places. We all need friends in high places. You know, we need friends that we can learn from, that are our mentors. You know, those people that are maybe 10 or 15, are 20 years ahead of us. Just, they're a little bit ahead of us in life, and we like what their life looks like. And these friends you may not spend a ton of time with, but you know, you learn from them. When you encounter a hardship or when you're going into a new season of life, you call them. You say, hey, tell me about this season of life, because you've already walked through that. I know for me and my husband, we have a set of friends like this, dear friends, Charlie and Sally Daniels. They're members of this church. And they're our friends in high places. You know, I remember we were getting ready to be empty nesters, and we were nervous about that. And we called them and we said, hey, tell us about it. How did you do it? What do we need to watch out for? And they just loved on us and cared for us. And just all the way through really our married life, they have just been those friends in high places that we can go to. They'll pray with us. They'll help us through situations. Everybody needs those friends in high places, because you need to be able to learn and to glean from others who have gone through that before, so that you don't have to make the same mistakes and you can have that support. The fourth type of friend we need are friends in low places. And it's everything within me not to sing that Garth Brooks song right now, but I'll refrain, okay? Friends in low places, what is that? That's our unsaved friends. That's the friends that we are sharing the love of Jesus with. That's the friends that we're developing a relationship with because we want to get them saved. And I truly believe that every Christian needs to have unsaved friends. Because how can we complete the Great Commission if all we hang around is Christian people? Right? We have to be among people that are unsaved, because Jesus came to seek and save the lost, right? And we are to go into all the world, meaning our neighborhood, our workplace, and share the gospel. You know, in Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, through 16 in the NLT, it says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You're called to be salt and light. And if you were not here Sunday night, go back and watch. Dan did an amazing job talking about how that we need to be salt and light to our community and our world, right? For sake of time, I'm going to skip the next scripture, but we need to have our unsaved friends that we are working on. Now, maybe you say, you know what? As you've been talking, I deal with social isolation. I'm kind of lonely. A lot of times I wish that I had friends to go out with. How do I get a community? Well, I'm going to tell you with these last few minutes how to make friends. Number one, be open and approachable, right? Smile, okay? You know, don't be all, you know, when you go places that nobody wants to approach you, you know? Start with a yes and not a no. Have open body language. You know, a great place to start is, you know, when we come to church and we say, hey, shake hands with the people around you and be friendly. Actually do that. You know, be approachable. Maybe you're going to meet somebody new. You know, talk to other people, you know, at social events, when you're sitting in the bleachers at a ball game, when you're standing in an elevator and it's awkward because you're all watching the numbers, you know, go up. Just start talking to people. Be open, be approachable. You never know what kind of connection you're going to make. I know my husband and I have even been on vacation and, you know, we'll be traveling somewhere in an airplane or an airport, and we'll just start talking to the people next to us, especially my husband. He's great at that. He loves to talk to people. I'm a little more shy. And all of a sudden, we have some common connection, and then we've had like an hour conversation, and it's great. Be open. Be approachable, right? Number two, join groups and activities. You have to join groups and activities. We have so many places for you to join here at Rhema Bible Church. Go to School of the Bible. I know, it's early on Sunday morning. It's from 9 to 9:45. But hey, it's going to be worth it. Go to School of the Bible. And you know what? Let me just tell you a little secret. You don't have to go to the age group that it says. Okay? You don't, because nobody does. Everybody breaks the rules. All right? We have 65-year-olds in the married 30-year-old class, all right? So don't worry about it. Just go wherever you feel like you want to go, except for single people stay on the single side and married people stay on the married side. That's the only qualification, but go. Volunteer. You know, if you enjoy children's ministry, go volunteer in a children's classroom. That's, you're going to meet people who have a like interest because they like children. Maybe you'll start up a friendship. Link teams. We have so many link teams that you can be a part of. Prayer groups, young adults, Synergy, all these places. Why do we have them? It's an opportunity for you to have friends and develop that horizontal connection. Okay? Number three, you have to initiate. In Proverbs 18:24, New King James, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Right? Initiate. Invite somebody out for coffee. Invite people over to your house. Stop making excuses that, oh, I don't want to be up late. I have to go to work the next day. Okay, you're going to be a little tired, but it's going to be worth it, right? Your house doesn't have to be perfectly clean to invite people over, okay? I fell into this excuse many, many, many times, and then I would go over my friend's house, and their house was messy, and I still like them. I didn't think anything bad about them. I just thought, you know what? Their house looks like my house, and I didn't care. But it's excuses that we make up in our mind, right? So ask somebody to coffee. Ask the people sitting next to you, hey, do you want to go out and grab a bite to eat after church? Initiate. Number four, be consistent. Friendships take effort. Don't constantly be canceling. You know, when a friend texts you or calls you, answer the phone. We are all guilty of the phone rings and we're like, right? Right? But we have to be consistent. We have to answer the phone. We have to answer the text. We have to follow up with them and don't cancel. It's going to take effort and consistency. Number five, be authentic. In a friendship, it has been said that authenticity is the number one key to a lasting friendship. Just be yourself. Be who God made you to be. People are going to be drawn to you. You know, there's a young adult in this church. Her name is Madison. And I absolutely love her and adore her and want to be around her because she is just 100% always herself, her crazy, kind of quirky self, unapologetically, and I adore that. It makes me want to be around her. You know, just be yourself. God created you to be you. You don't have to be anybody else, and people will be drawn and attracted to that. Number six, and the last thing, and we're going to wrap up here, is it's a give and take, right? It can't be one-sided. You're going to have to give some. People may need you to come help them move. Okay? They may need a shoulder to cry on. They may, you know, be sick and need a meal brought to them, right? So it's a give and a take. You can't just take. You can't just talk about yourself all the time. You have to give to. You have to ask them about themselves. Be interested. It is a give and it is a take, right? And give people grace. No one's perfect. Everybody has a bad day. So just because somebody's having a bad day, or they don't answer your text right away, or maybe they're a little bit sharp with you, give them grace and don't just throw out that friendship, because it truly is a give and take. We are called to do life together. God said from the very beginning, it is not good for mankind to be alone. And we need each other. We need to help each other. We need relationships. So I encourage you, think about your friendships. Think about your relationships. And maybe you say, you know, Denise, I'm fine. I've got all the friends that I need. But you might take a look around. Maybe there's somebody who is lonely and isolated, and you could be their antidote to isolation. We are called to show the love of God. And if you don't have a lot of friends and you feel isolated, I encourage you to pray about it. Put some of these things in practice. Do these things, and I guarantee you, God will bring you friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you did not want us to be alone, that you wanted us to have friends and that social connection and be connected as a community. Father, just help us. Lord, if there's anybody in here tonight that is feeling lonely, that is feeling isolated, that is feeling socially disconnected, Father, I ask you that you minister to their heart, that you bring them peace, and Lord, you bring them friends that would be able to help them navigate this life, friends that they can laugh with, friends that they can do life with, Father. And Lord, help our eyes to be open to see the people around us that are lonely, and help us to be the answer and the antidote to somebody's isolation. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight, and we give you praise and honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our prayer team is down here. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you want to. Or maybe you're out of fellowship with him and you want to get right with him. Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you just need prayer because you're feeling a little lonely. The guys are over here. The ladies are over here. They are ready to pray with you about anything that you need. If you are a first-time guest, the connection team members are in the aisle to get you that gift at our connection center. We love you guys. We will see you Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at School of the Bible. If you don't know where to go, you can check your digital bulletin, or you can come in the sanctuary, ask an usher, right? So we'll see you 9 a.m. at School of the Bible, 10 a.m. at church. We love you. God bless you.